Welcome to the Voice Over Work podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at Neurohabits. Rewire your brain to stop self-defeating behaviors and make the right choice every time. Written by Peter Hollins, narrated by Russell Newton. Chapter 1. A peek into the science of habits. What is a habit? You might have worked your way through dozens of old habits today already before reading this book. You didn't have to really think about any of these activities. The specific way you went about brushing your teeth, making coffee, checking your emails. Sure, the first time you ever performed one of these habits, you probably had to pay full and focused attention. But after hundreds or even thousands of times repeating the same routines, you now complete them on autopilot. They are, in other words, habitual. Many of us think of habits in terms of behavior. We try to eliminate bad habits or encourage better ones by using sheer force of willpower. We tend to think of habits as not sticking simply because we're lazy or we're just not trying hard enough. But the fact is that habits are the external behavioral manifestations of internal brain processes, which have very little to do with willpower. Habits are there for a reason. They are your brain's shortcuts through life, or what are called heuristics, mental models used to process the familiar and expected patterns of experience. Habits help us save time and energy. If we can do something automatically and without thinking too hard about it, we save our attention for the truly difficult things. But habits are not just behaviors. They are an external expression of a physical process unfolding in your brain. The old saying goes, neurons that fire together, wire together. This essentially means that when your brain repeats the same patterns over and over again, the neurons responsible are physically and literally wired in a fixed way. Your habit is physiologically programmed into your brain. Psychologists and neurologists have long understood that there exists. Chapter 2, Habit Formation Psychology. When it comes to habits, it would seem that the physiological, the psychological, and the behavioral are all connected, one influencing the other. When you engage in a habit, your brain fills with neurotransmitters that help you to remember and repeat that action. Physical aspect. You experience a strong psychological pull toward the activity from the conditioned cues and triggers these brain chemicals have helped ingrain. Psychological aspect. And outwardly, your behavior manifests as the habitual routine itself. Behavioral aspect. In this chapter, we'll take a closer look at the psychological aspect of this trio. It's important to note that this is just one lens that we can use to look at habits. One way of thinking about it is to see psychology as our subjective experience of our physiological and neurochemical reality. We've seen what habits look like in the brain. Now, let's look at how they express themselves in our lived experience. Most importantly, how can we use this information to motivate ourselves to form good habits and undo bad ones? Habit formation from a psychological perspective. In the last chapter, we saw that habits are essentially automated, repeated, unconscious behaviors we engage in without thinking about them too much, and they have real neurochemical basis in our brains. By understanding how and why habits are formed physiologically, we learn how the process works from the inside out. The same can be said for understanding how we form and break habits psychologically. The more we understand the process, the better our chances of making lasting changes from the outside in. You've probably heard that it takes X number of days to form. Chapter 3, The Framework for Lasting Change. In the previous chapter, we took a close look at what a habit actually is, the kinds of habits that fill our days, and how exactly habits form from a behavioral perspective, but also neurochemically. We also looked at the psychological aspect behind habit formation and why it can be so hard to break bad habits and form better ones. In this chapter, we'll be bringing all this together to answer the question you're probably most interested in: How can you change your habits permanently? It all comes back to neuroplasticity and knowing how to use it to our advantage. We've laid the groundwork, and now it's time to examine the ways we can work with the processes that are already underway within our brains. This bears repeating. Every day in every moment, you already possess countless habits, whether you're conscious of them or not. Forming habits is the easiest thing in the world. You've done it all your life without thinking. But consciously developing the habit that you deliberately choose is another story. Once you understand the underlying principles in this chapter, you'll be able to apply them to a range of contexts, habits, and goals. Good or bad, it's all the same to the brain. You might have already noticed this in our earlier discussion on the three steps behind habit formation. We didn't specify whether the habits were good or bad, healthy or unhealthy, productive or unproductive. That's because, to your brain, a habit is just a habit. The brain's main goal in forming a habit is to conserve cognitive energy. There's no moral element. Rather, creating habits is a natural part of the human mental experience and is as value neutral as the act of breathing or digesting food. Your unconscious. Chapter 4. More of the good, less of the bad. In previous examples, we focused on pretty small and simple habits, things like eating better or being more active. The assumption, though, is that if we can incorporate these sorts of behaviors into our lives, we'll become healthier, happier people overall. The end goal is not to floss more or save a little extra money or stop swearing, but to develop our characters and evolve as human beings. We are what we do. Whenever we strive to emulate a certain behavior, it's because on some level we want to be the kind of person associated with that behavior. So the art of developing good habits is just the how. The why is to become better people, action by action, day by day. We do this not with blunt force, but intelligently. If the brain likes habits, well, give it habits, but make them good ones. Commitment is better than willpower. You already know what you need to do. Work hard, live right, etc., etc. It's easy enough to see that we should change, but not so easy to actually do it. Yes, you can badly want to change, and you can thoroughly hate where you are right now, but still, this isn't enough to bring you from where you are to where you want to be. The missing element is not knowledge or skill or passion or grit, although all these things are certainly useful. Rather, what's needed is commitment. Commitment is what keeps you returning to your daily good habit day after day, even when it's boring or difficult or painful. It's the easiest thing in the world to announce a resolution when all we have in our minds is the end result and the satisfaction that comes with the achievement. Chapter 5. How to short-circuit yourself. By now, it should be clear that when it comes to working effectively with habits, you need a comprehensive approach that starts from the fundamentals. Having covered those fundamentals, we can now take a look at some of the most common behavioral modification techniques out there. But now, you should be able to see clearly why they can be so effective, what to avoid, and how to tailor each approach so that it best fits your unique situation. Some of the following methods we've hinted at already, and some won't be unfamiliar to you. However, before picking a technique and trying to apply it to your life, remind yourself to keep the basic three-step loop at the back of your mind. Remember what a habit is: automatic, unconscious, repeated, so you know exactly how to work around it. Most of all, remember that nothing that works will work instantly. Even the most effective approach will still take commitment, patience, and mindful repetition. Let's jump in. Control your impulses. One great way to master positive habit formation is to learn to control your impulses. They are polar opposites. One is stable and reliable, like a metronome, while the other is unpredictable, like a volcano. An impulse is the sudden need to do or not do something, an uncontrollable urge.
Impulses are often acted upon without forethought or planning and can come out of nowhere to derail your entire day. This is where habit dies, because you're at the mercy of a spur-of-the-moment whim. You can't engage in both at the same time. Control over impulses is a key to consistent discipline. For instance, imagine that you're playing piano during a big performance, but you get the sudden impulse to scratch an itch on your face. Chapter 6. Design Flaws in Habit Formation. At the start of this book, we began with an unavoidable truth, that people find it exceptionally hard to change. Do you recall the study that discovered that people try an average of 10 times to break a bad habit or learn a new one? We've delved into what propels behavior change, why people act in the ways that they do. We've examined how we can control our brain chemistry and psychology and exploit them for our improvement. Even with all this new and powerful knowledge, pitfalls could arise. If you've come up with a faulty or ineffective plan focused on the wrong habits or made a strategic error, you might not succeed in making the changes you're seeking. That's why this chapter takes a look at some common design flaws that can derail your efforts in changing behavior or keep you on the same track on which change never occurs. But as with the rest of this book, we can take a flaw or weakness and, with conscious awareness, commitment, and understanding, transform it into something that works for us rather than against us. B.J. Fogg's Mistakes for Change. Fogg identified some common mistakes in thinking, framing, and approaching behavioral change, and how to adapt one's way of thinking to correct course and push change forward. Relying on willpower for long-term change. Willpower, for all its merits, is a finite and inconstant resource. You can regenerate it, of course, but you can't rely on raw will to lead you through a protracted period of behavioral change. Trying to keep an exercise program, a diet, or system of work discipline going through sheer will alone could deplete the mental faculties that control will and lead to what scientists call ego depletion. Fogg's solution. This has been Neurohabits. Rewire your brain to stop self-defeating behaviors and make the right choice every time. Written by Peter Hollins, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2020 by Peter Hollins. Production copyright by Peter Hollins. More information regarding today's book and the author can be found at audible.com or amazon.com. With an eclectic collection of water cooler knowledge, inspirational stories, and motivational thoughts from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Overwork Podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.